नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
सो टुडे वी आर ऑन 16th ऑफ ऑगस्ट वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. Text number 26.
Pumsam Svakamaya Vivikta Margai Ram.
Ek minute na.
Abhyarchatam Kama दुघांग्री पद्मं प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखा भिन्नांगुली चारुपात्रं पुंसां स्वकामाय विवित्तमार्गै रभ्यर्चतां कामदुघांग्रिपद्मं प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखा भिन्नांगुलिचारुपत्रं पुंसां स्वकामाय विविक्तमार्गैर् अभ्यर्चतां कामदुघांग्रिपद्मं प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखभिन्नांगुलिचारुपत्रं पुंसां स्वकामाय विविक्तमार्गैर् अभ्यर्चतां कामदुघांग्रिपद्मं प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखभिन्नांगुलिचारपत्रम् पुंसां स्वकामाय विविक्तमार्गैर् अभ्यर्चतां कामदुघांग्रिपद्मं प्रदर्शयन्तं कृपया नखेन्दु मयूखभिन्नांगुलिचारुपत्रम् Pumsam Svakamaya Viviktamargae Abhyarchatam Kama Dughangri Padmam Pradarshayantam Kripaya Nakhendu Mayuka Bhinnanguli Charu Patram.
Ladies,
Pumsam Svakamaya Vivikta Margae Abhyarchatam Kama Dughangri Padmam Pradarshayantam Kripaya Nakhendu Mayukila
Pumsam of the human being. Svakamaya, according to the desire. Vivikta Margai, by the path of devotional service. Abhyarchatam, worshipped. Kama Dugha Angri Padmam, the lotus feet of the Lord, which can award all desired fruits. Padashrayantam, Pradarshayantam, while showing them. Kripaya, by causeless mercy. Nakha, nails. Indu, moon-like. Mayukha, rays. Bhinna, divided. Anguli, figures. Charu Patram, very beautiful. Translation. The Lord showed His lotus feet by raising them. His lotus feet are the source of all awards achieved by devotional service free from material contamination. Such awards are for those who worship Him in pure devotion. The splendor of the transcendental rays from His moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a flower. The Lord, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord fulfills the desires of everyone just as one desires. Pure devotees are interested in achieving the transcendental service of the Lord, which is not different from Him. Therefore, the Lord is the only desire of the pure devotees. And devotional service is the only spotless process for achieving His favor. Srila Rupa Goswami says in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11 that pure devotional service is Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam. Pure devotional service is without any tinge of speculative knowledge and fruitive activities. Such devotional service is able to award the pure devotee the highest result, namely direct association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna, according to the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, the Lord showed one of the many thousands of petals of His lotus feet. It is said, Brahmano asava anavratum me dhyataha stutaha parardhante so buddhyanta gopaveshomi purastat avirbhavuvaha. After penetrating for millions of years, the Brahma could understand the transcendental form of the Lord as Sri Krishna in the dress of a cowherd boy. Thus he recorded his experience in the Brahma Samhita in the famous prayer, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Please repeat after me. The Lord showed His lotus feet by raising them. His lotus feet are the source of all awards achieved by devotional service free from material contamination. Such awards are for those who worship Him in pure devotion. The splendor of the transcendental rays from His moon-like toenails and fingernails appeared like the petals of a flower. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I feel greatly privileged and honored to sit here. I am grateful to all devotees here. Sri Govardhan Eco Village. Welcome to all of you, those who are coming as a guest here. And congratulations to all those who stay here. Because it's a great, great privilege and honor to be able to live with the nature in a holy place in the company of devotees where Sri Vrindavan Dham is manifested. And the process of revealing Sri Vrindavan Dham is explained in this verse. It is said that pure devotional service is the only way to attain the direct association of the Lord. Pure devotional service, which is free from knowledge, speculative knowledge, and from attachment to fruitive actions or fruits of the action, is the method by which we can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead and get direct association of the Lord. And the goal of life is not to become famous as a devotee, not to acquire ocean-like knowledge of spirituality. These are all only means to achieve the ultimate goal, that is the transcendental service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether in His presence or in His absence or far away from Him, but to attain Shuddha Bhakti Purna Seva, pure devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord, is what is our goal of life. And in all favorable and unfavorable condition of life, that goal remains same and it doesn't change. All atrocities, all happy occasions, all pleasurable, pleasant occasions, pleasing occasions, or all difficult occasions of life, this remains, as per Rupa Goswami's instruction, the ultimate purpose of life for which we are living in this fortunate human body. This fortunate human body is not awarded to every living entity. Only very less percentage of all the living entities in the creation of the Lord are awarded this human life, human body, in which the software of understanding the Supreme Lord and software of being able to perform Shuddha Bhakti is installed. No other body, this software is installed. Only passively somebody can receive mercy of the Lord when human beings give some prasad or make the animal hear the holy name or the animal takes birth in the holy place. Very indirectly and passively, but directly and actively to perform Shuddha Bhakti, that facility is provided in this particular body. And human beings feel that this particular facility for enjoying the sense gratification in a very sophisticated way, that is why human body is given. Exactly opposite we think. But you can see the nature of this material world, that even when Brahma is being born on the lotus of coming out of the navel of Vishnu, even he is apparently in ignorance. He is also searching in the dark. Where am I? Who am I? What is my role? From where the lotus is coming? Where is the root? What am I supposed to do? And he is searching. He is going all the way from his Brahma Loka, that is lotus, all the way to the stalk, to the root. He is searching, searching and searching. And then also he is not understanding exactly what is happening. So the nature of the material world is basically ignorance by the influence of the external energy of the Lord. But because Brahma was a very elevated, first privileged, sincere son of the Lord, he had very beautiful attitude and he was sincerely searching. And because he was, it is explained in the previous verses that he did 100 years of tapasya to understand what is the reality. So another message for us is tapasya is the integral part of human life. No animal life is supposed to perform tapasya. No animals are doing tapasya anyways. They are only behaving impulsively to the call of their senses. Whatever comes impulsively in their mind, they react to that and they actively perform their activities. So tapaha, even Rishabhdev tells his sons, tapasya is the method of self-realization. It's a beginning process. Tapasya to understand the Lord, tapasya to serve the Lord, tapasya to become favorable in our consciousness, to realize the Lord is what is. Tapasya is defined as inconvenience accepted voluntarily to please the Lord. All three ingredients are important. Inconvenience is important, voluntary acceptance is important, and for pleasing the Lord is also important. When all these three are there, then this tapasya is taken into account by the Lord as tapasya, the real tapasya. But otherwise there are many people who are doing so many difficult, inconvenient activities for their own sense gratification, working very, very hard. That cannot be calculated as tapasya. So Brahma did here 100 years of tapasya. And what is happening is the result of that. All the previous few verses, at the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge. That means, when we perform positive tapasya, real tapasya, the required knowledge to realize the Lord develops in the heart. And as a result, he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with great endeavor. Brahma could see that on the water there was a gigantic lotus-like white bedstead, the body of Sheshanag, on which the personality of Godhead was lying alone. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of the jewels bedecking the hoods of Sheshanag. We just celebrated the appearance day of Lord Balaram, who is Sheshanag himself, the eldest son of Kadru, the wife of Kashyapa Muni. Kadru incarnated as Rohini Devi, and her eldest son Sheshanag came as Balaram. The whole atmosphere was illuminated by the rays of jewels bedecking the hoods of Sheshanag, and that illumination dissipated all the darkness of those regions. Which means, see, Balaramji is actually the original savior, original guru. By his mercy, the knowledge that is required to understand the Lord is revealed in the heart of a devotee. So Balaramji's position is very important, very crucial as the original spiritual master on behalf of Sri Krishna to deliver all the conditioned living entities. Sri Balaramji is providing this knowledge from time immemorial. And then the luster of the transcendental body of the Lord mocked the beauty of the coral mountain. The coral mountain is very beautifully dressed by the evening sky, but the yellow dress of the Lord mocked its beauty. A beautiful comparison is given, and all the items which are compared are unknown to us. That is coral mountain. Anybody here has seen coral mountain? We have seen coral beads, you know, which South Indian ladies wear after marriage. But coral is a very beautiful, hot in nature, jewel. Sri Krishna would sometimes tell the gopis, you know, I am wearing coral garlands, it's burning my body and burning my hands, so I am putting my hands into the butter to cool it down. That's how I remember coral. There is gold on summit of the mountain, but the Lord's helmet, bedecked with jewels, mocked it. The mountains, waterfalls, herbs, etc., with a panorama of flowers, seem like garlands, but the Lord's gigantic body and his hands and legs, decorated with jewels and pearls and tulsi leaves and flower garlands, mocked the scene of all the mountains. So what is the meaning of this description is that whatever the Lord was wearing defeated all the beauty that he has created in the universe. All that is beautifully described over here as the beauty of the whole universe, the coral mountain and the evening sky and the so many colors are there explained here. They are all the creation of the Lord's external energy. And the creator is always much, much, much unlimitedly more beautiful than the creation itself. His transcendental body, unlimited in length and breadth, occupied the three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. You can imagine the Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu is described over here. His body is covering all the three lokas, that means upper planetary systems, middle and the lower ones. That means all the 14 planetary systems are covered by the body of the Lord. He is so expansive, unlimitedly expansive, and that is still expansion of Mahavishnu, who is still expansion of Narayana, who is still expansion of Sankarsana and so forth. So you can imagine in the third canto further it is explained how the beautiful creation of the Lord is and how magnanimous and how unlimited and how unbelievable, inconceivable the Lord's creation is, so that we can understand the glory of the Lord. And the same Lord becomes a baby at the house of Nanda Maharaj to crawl in his courtyard, to create footprints, to give a lot of unlimited pleasure as a baby, doing mischief, getting scared with the sound of the thunder in the sky, running in the lap of mother in fear. All these unusual things are done by the same personality who is so huge, whose expansion is so huge, inconceivable. It's full of awe and reverence, it's full of opulence. The same personality gives up his position, who is so opulent, gives up that position and becomes a baby in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. His body was self-illuminated by unparalleled dress and variegatedness and was properly ornamented. And then we come to today's verse. What he did, he first gave darshan and then he raised his feet. So merciful the Lord is. Looking at the inquisitiveness of the seeker. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Looking at the proportion and intensity of the inquisitiveness of the seeker, like Lord Brahma, he's not only giving darshan, which he's watching anyways, but he's also raising his lotus feet, showing him the lotus feet. Yesterday we were singing a bhajan, Ashoka Abhaya Amruta Adhara Tomara Charana Dvaya. This lotus feet of the Lord are so powerful that they take away all the shoka, all the sufferings of the life, all the so-called sufferings of life which we think we have is taken away when we take shelter of these two lotus feet of the Lord. Abhaya, all the fear that we have of losing, Shochati na Kangshati, all that we have which we feel we don't have, this is why we are suffering. All that we feel we had but we lost, we are suffering from that. All kinds of shoka that we can imagine is all destroyed when one takes the shelter of the two beautiful lotus feet of the Lord. And Amruta Adhara, they just don't do negative activities of removing your fear and removing your shoka. They give unlimited Amruta, unlimited nectar for which the soul is always anxious, for which the soul is always, you know, eagerly waiting for, which is the nature of the soul. Exactly the constitutional nature of the soul is to seek pleasure and to be in pleasure with the Lord. That kind of unique constitutional happiness is bestowed upon when one takes shelter of these two lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord is so merciful to devotees especially that He reveals Himself personally and He reveals His lotus feet to them. To everybody else who is not a devotee, who is performing yoga, who is performing impersonal method of realizing Brahma Jyoti, or who is in Jnana Kanda, who is in Karma Kanda, who are in many other Siddhi Kanda and many other procedures, to them, not even one ray is visualized coming from lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord's lotus feet has 10 nails, and each nail, you know, emanates unlimited transcendental rays of Brahma Jyoti. And all those who worship the Lord, perform so many other methods than pure bhakti, are not even fortunate to see one ray coming from one toenail of the Lord. And to a devotee like Brahma, both the lotus feet are raised by the Lord, not only kept in position, raised, have darshan. That is Lord's mercy. That is His response for the method of Shuddha Bhakti. And what is Shuddha Bhakti? Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. When we come to the platform of no other desires than to please the Lord, than to serve the Lord, when we come to that platform, then all these rays are removed and Sakshat Tumara Charana Dvaya are shown. Otherwise, all the rays are always covering the darshan of the Lord, His lotus face and His lotus feet also. So what Srila Prabhupada has given us is no compromised situation or method. He has given us a method which is a revolutionary method, which tells you no results. Ashlishava padaratam pinashtumam adarsanam marmahatam karotiva. I'll break your heart, I'll not embrace you, I'll chase you away, or sometimes I feel like I'll embrace you. But the devotees will say, I don't have any other desire than whatever you desire for me. Just to accept your desire for me and acting accordingly is my desire. Thy will be done. Your desire, I want to make my desire. And that method makes the Lord so much available and so much kind to the devotees that it is very bewildering for all the other impersonal yogis and all the other methods people are following. That is the beauty of Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is the only thing. It is not said yoga is Sri Krishna Akarshani. It is not said jnana is Sri Krishna Akarshani. It is not said karma is Sri Krishna Akarshani. Siddhi yoga is Sri Krishna Akarshani. It is only said Shuddha Bhakti is Sri Krishna Akarshani. One of the six symptoms of Shuddha Bhakti, last one is Sri Krishna Akarshani. It is so magnanimous that moksha laguta krita. It makes moksha appear to be very tiny, insignificant. It makes moksha insignificant appearing thing, which is a big thing for all other yogis, which is the biggest achievement for them, makes it insignificant by the process of bhakti. Sandrananda Visheshatma, it gives you so much pleasure that no yogi, no Brahmanandi, no Brahma Jyoti merged personality can imagine to have. The ananda of Brahma Jyoti, Brahmananda is supposed to be very inferior compared to the pleasure of the devotees which they receive. Even without having darshan of the Lord. Even without having darshan of the Lord and the personal association of the Lord, just performing Shuddha Bhakti makes the devotee so fortunate that he gets the pleasure which no other personalities who are not following Bhakti, they get. In the circle of Mayavadis, Brahmananda is supposed to be the ultimate. You know, they are like so enamored by Brahmananda. They call it Brahmanandi Tali in Marathi language. But that is supposed to be very insignificant compared to the pleasure of the devotees. And that is special mercy of the Lord on His devotees. So Srila Prabhupada never compromised on the principles of Shuddha Bhakti. People told him that, you know, you are going to America, it's not India. You have to be a little lenient, little compromising, little discount giving, little concessional to the people whom you preach, because it's not possible. We have gone and come back. Srila Prabhupada wanted to give the best and the ultimate to even the most fallen people. Start from that category only. And people did follow. No tea, coffee and no onion, garlic and eating only prasadam and giving up horrible addictions and illicit sex, intoxication. People did follow that. Because Srila Prabhupada practiced himself the process of Shuddha Bhakti very sincerely, very intently and very devotedly. And he created a divine spiritual force within him. And that divine spiritual force, which was pure, force of purity, inspired all those difficult kind of people to follow the same kind of path which Prabhupada himself was following. Isn't this wonderful? Such power and such purity was there in Prabhupada. That's why he could have the full conviction that I will not compromise. I will not eat with forks with them. I will teach them eat with fingers. Because of conviction. One has to have conviction. Without conviction, we cannot make a transformation in the hearts of people. If we are not convinced of something what we are speaking, then it cannot cause transformation in the hearts of people who are listening. We have to be thoroughly convinced. And that's what Srila Prabhupada has awarded us. And when I was thinking about Lord Brahma, so many wonderful things about Brahma came to my mind. Sri Brahmaji is such a wonderful personality, you know. Such an elevated personality. He has been used by the Lord at so many times to teach people like us, fallen people like us, some lesson. And sometimes it appears that he is ridiculed, you know. He is like in a very bewildering position. Our Supreme Father, I mean Great Grandfather, Pitamaha, Prapitamaha, appears to be making a silly mistake which you and me also must have now done in our 30, 40, 50 years of lives. But he is so humble to submit himself, to provide himself for the Lord, to use as an example for all to follow. The Lord used Bhishmadev for a certain example, certain teaching to all of us. He used Brahma so many times. As I remember that we are in Govardhan form, I was looking at Govardhan yesterday, gradually manifesting. In Braj Bhumi, everybody has the firm faith that when Krishna, when Brahma stole all the cows and baby cows and the coward boys, he then finally realized that he made a mistake. And he offered prayers of repentance to the Lord. But it is firmly believed in Braj Bhumi that even after offering such humble prayers of repentance, Brahma was not still fully forgiven. Then he did Dandavati Parikrama of Braj Bhumi. And there's a beautiful story that when he was doing Dandavati Parikrama, it was said that because of the offense, he had turned fully black. His effulgent body had turned black, or maybe nistage, you know, lost all effulgence. And he was doing Parikrama. And when he came to Govardhan area, he was half black and half effulgent. So people also were doing Parikrama along with him. And they asked, "What happened, Brahmaji? Why are you like this?" He said, "I am in the process of getting purified of my offense." And then Brahma did complete Braj Bhumi, including Govardhan, Dandavati Parikrama, and then he was completely purified of his offense. This is just to show the glory of Braj Bhumi. That one touches his body to the dust of the Braj Bhumi, he gets freed from all the anarthas, unwanted things, offenses, everything is released. That's why even Sri Krishna and even all the gopis and the coward boys would always lie down on the dust of Braj Bhumi whenever there was opportunity. In the cow herding pastimes or in the night when gopis would perform pastimes with Krishna, they would always rest. Radharani, also one of her names, I don't remember exactly the name now. That name means one who Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. Huh? What is the Radha Kripa Kataksha says that Munindra Vunda Vandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vaktra Pankaje Nikunja Bhu Vilasini. One who always lies down on the lotus ground in the dust of Brajbhumi, knowing well the power of the dust particles of Brajbhumi are so powerful, she doesn't need to get purified, but the glory of Brajbhumi is so great that she wants to take shelter and lie down and always exemplify to all the devotees how one should take shelter mentally, emotionally and physically also of the dust of Brajbhumi. So Sri Brahma performed Dandavati Parikrama of Sri Brajbhumi. The same Brahmaji, it is explained here, he performed 100 years of tapasya. Then he saw the Lord within his heart. And then he saw him as cowherd boy also. And there is a story which comes in one Puran that Lord Brahma performed 60,000 years of tapasya at the beginning of Satyayuga, at the beginning of creation. Very difficult tapasya. Sometimes only taking fallen leaves. Sometimes only breathing and sometimes not even breathing also. With no result. Then he got on his business, got on his duty again. At the end of Satyayuga, again he performed 60,000 years more tapasya. In the same way. So much patience he had. Right? He had a big gap in between, but still he performed. And then Brahmana Prarthato Hari, he was also worshipping the Lord deeply in the heart. And then this coward boy form of the Lord appeared to him. And he said, yes, what do you want? He said, please, you perform your Raslila on me. I want to attain the dust of the lotus feet of all the gopis and coward boys and you and Radharani and everybody. He said, go to Vrindavan Dham, go to Brajbhumi. He said, how could I go? Where should I go? Brajbhumi is so unlimited and so big. He said, go to Brishabhanupur, where Srimati Radharani lives with his dear father and mother and his her coward girlfriends. Go there and become a mountain. Now going there, up to this was okay. Yeah, I can go there. Going there and you become a mountain is very difficult, you know. What is the meaning of a mountain? Mountain means no consciousness in one sense. In fact, everything in Brajbhumi is conscious. But from motion point of view, mountain has no motion. Mountain doesn't even move when the breeze comes. At least trees don't move. But they move when the breeze comes, or they also grow towards the sunlight and they have some motion. But mountain means Mr. Nothing. From Mr. CEO, the topmost personality, the first citizen of the universe, to Mr. Nobody. And also it means, yeah, you will get the dust of the lotus feet of all the great personalities, including Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna and the coward boys and the closest associates. But you will also get stool of peacocks and monkeys and everybody else on you. And everybody other people who are not supposed to be giving you dust also give you then your dust. It's all package, you know. When you are getting the rest of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna and his associates, you're also getting package of everything else. Urine, stool and all kinds of things will fall upon you. But to get that most precious thing, Sri Brahma accepted the most humble position. Even we, wretched souls, also are walking over him when we go to Barsana. We all are supposed to bow down in gratitude and repentance of Brahmaji's position. That's such an example he has set up. Who does tapasya to achieve something which is lowest in the world? Everyone, even the proper tapasya, inconvenience, voluntarily accepted to please the Lord. Everyone even does this kind of tapasya to achieve something higher than what they have. They want to go from a lower position to higher position. No one does any tapasya, any difficult activities, any mehnat or any efforts to come lower than what he is. Even in the business also, in our job also, we do our key result areas and hard work, everything to get increment and to get promotion. Nobody does hard work to go to a chaprasi level. But here Brahmaji is apparently in this whole one Brahmanda is in the highest position. Nobody can achieve higher position than Brahma in this particular universe as far as living entities are concerned. There is a personality higher than Brahma is Vishnu. who is Vishnu Tattva. But in Jiva Tattva, nobody attains any higher position than Brahma himself. Okay, he is the first living entity, first citizen of the creation, of this Brahmanda. And that personality who is in the highest respected position, everybody is his children. He is the great, great, great grandfather of every living entity, every species of life. And respected by everybody as the father. Any difficulty you have, everybody approaches, the last authority is Brahma. This Bhumi Devi or Indra or all the other demigods, whenever there are difficulties or they are troubled by all the demons, they all approach him. He is the final authority, last buck in the Brahmanda. And he took a position of Mr. Nobody for the sake of serving the Lord and pleasing him. And that's why in Barsana we have four mountain peaks, you know. Varasyanu, that means the peaks of the mountain are very beautiful and easily approachable, easily climbable. That is the meaning of Varsyano, that's why it is called Barsana. So Brahmaji is exemplifying over there at the home of Sriji Maharani, Radharani, how one should become humble in front of the Lord and not hesitate to any time take a lower position from your so-called higher position to please the Lord, to serve the Lord. And he would melt in ecstasy when Lord would perform pastimes on him. He would melt in ecstasy, and that would create footprints and handprints and prints of the feta of the Lord and prints of the many things that would be there normally created because of the melting position, in Dolayaman position, very beautiful, soft, butter-like position that he created for pleasing the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotees whenever they would come upon him. This is Brahma. You can imagine his humility. He is so wonderful a personality. He is allowing us, all his so-called fallen children, you know, for whom he has taken birth to deliver all of us. He lets them climb upon him so that we can get darshan of Sriji Maharani and we can appreciate the beauty of Sri Barsana Dham. That is his most wonderful position. So, Sri Brahma, he is now getting here darshan of the Lord, and his mood is of gratitude that he is expressing here. He doesn't feel he is qualified to receive all these things, but Lord is inspiring him because Lord has to get so many wonderful services done through him of all the creation and maintenance of the world and to perform activities for millions of years. His life is so long, you know, and such a unbelievable lifetime he has got. But all that life is simply decorated with the decorations of devotion to Sri Krishna. And he has undergone so many troubles at so many times by so many people. But his humility is very laudable and very remarkable. So let us all pray to Lord Brahma to award us that humility by which we can also realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead the way he realized. The way he humbled himself, the way he was so inquisitive, the way he was so subservient, he didn't mind to accept any kind of service. And Lord bestowed upon him such realization in the heart first. Tene Brahmi Hridaya Adikavaye Muyanti Yat Suraya. As an Adikavi, as an original living entity, the Lord revealed all knowledge in his heart. It's called as the Bhagavatam, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. In the form of that, Lord Krishna delivered all knowledge in his heart. Whatever is supposed to be known or realized or understood, all that was revealed by Sri Krishna in the heart of Brahma. Direct transfer. Because of the dint of the devotion and the humility. Ultimately, we have to understand that our knowledge or our tapasya or our wealth or our so many activities of charity that we do, or our performance of ritualistic activities, our visiting holy places, our giving charitable donations to many poor needy people, do not qualify us to attain the realization that Brahma realized, had received. The humility is such quality that when humility is there, even if we don't have other so-called qualities that are required, humility fulfills everything. Humility covers all the deficiencies. And what is the meaning of humility? That we have to run to the help of devotees when we need upliftment, when we need support. It may happen that we are in difficulty and no senior devotees around, only some newcomer devotees are around. And that time the humility means that you approach whoever devotee is around you and pray to Krishna to reveal his instruction and his inspiration through that so-called new devotee around you. The biggest challenge is that, oh, I'm a senior devotee now. I cannot take association of any junior devotees. How will I get inspiration now? How will I get guidance? How will I get counseling? Will I meet the qualified person to counsel me? What will I do? No. Whoever is available next to you, who is trying his best to perform devotional service, you have to approach him and take help. Sri Krishna can empower anybody to help us. Looking at the level of humility that we have, a level of seeking that we have, level of quest that we have, intensity of the quest that we have, Sri Krishna can bestow upon us his association through any so-called, what we think as insignificant devotee. Whatever we have around us, by the Lord's arrangement, is perfect arrangement for us. You cannot say, oh, I am here now, all senior devotees to me are in Bombay now, so whom do I associate with? Who will inspire me? Who will counsel me? By the mercy of the Lord, wherever you are put by the arrangement of the Lord, whatever arrangement is around you available is perfect for you to make required advancement in Krishna consciousness. And whenever that situation changes, even that is perfect arrangement of the Lord for you to advance in Krishna consciousness. Which means, in a sense, all arrangements around you are always perfect by the mercy of the Lord. Individually, perfectly tailor-made for each and every living entity. That is the meaning of that. When we say everything is perfect by the Lord's arrangement, which means Lord has arranged everything perfectly for our upliftment. The whole creation that of Brahmanda that is created is simply to uplift us from wherever we are to the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the arrangement of the Lord. It may appear like jail to somebody, it may appear like punishment to somebody, but ultimately all that big arrangement, you know, all that big planning that Lord has done to create Brahma, then to create Shiva, and then to create demigods, and so many planetary systems, and 84, you know, lakhs of species, 8,004,000 species, so many arrangements, all such kind of meticulous planning is done for what? In one sense, when we are not devotees, is meant to punish all of us. But in reality, if you peep in the heart of Sri Krishna, it is all meant somehow or other to get all of us back home, back to Godhead. That's why such an elaborate, inconceivable arrangements are made by the Lord. Creation made by the Lord. So that we all can get the benefit of the situations around us favorably and reach the destination. That's why such a big arrangement is done. Our Gurudev is developing such a big project here. It's such a huge project. Then to reveal Sri Vrindavan Dham, to reveal Sri Govardhan, Sri Radha Kund, Shyam Kund, Jamuna Devi. It's a huge task. All that is made simply to inspire people to adapt to bhakti in coherence with nature. And such huge effort, you know, Sanat Kumar Prabhu and devotees, Gaurang Prabhu, everybody is putting here, all of you are struggling to put this up, so that people just by coming here get that inspiration in the heart, that flame of inspiration, so that we can also perform bhakti. That inspiration can be awarded to people. So we may say, oh, so much of money, so much of effort, so much of time. But if that inspiration, iota of inspiration, can be awarded to people, the whole purpose of huge effort is successful. Similarly, whole Brahmanda effort of creation is successful if people who live in this Brahmanda take the inspiration to become Krishna conscious. That is the goal of this life, to become Krishna conscious. And then at the end of the story, we may be coming back again here, or going to hellish planets, or going to heavenly planets, or going back to Golok Vrindavan, whatever, wherever Lord Krishna feels appropriate to put us in, is perfect situation, because point is not ultimately to go in the company of Krishna only. The point is to become Krishna conscious, to remember Him and to serve Him wherever we are, wherever He desires to serve us. So He desires us to serve. That is the ultimate goal. And for that we require tremendous amount of humility. And it is this humility only which attracts the attention of the Lord easily. If somebody is humble, then it is very easy for him to approach the Lord and receive His mercy. And Lord Brahma, the first personality of the whole Brahmanda creation, is exemplifying in His life. You should all be grateful. And later on we see that Lord Brahma, one very funny story I remember of Brahma, that when Sri Krishna took birth in Gokul, in Mathura, and then came to Gokul, and when Nanda Maharaj was celebrating his birth, Nandotsav was being performed, there Brahmani was arguing with Brahma, Brahma's wife, that how you know everything and everybody else knows, but I don't know because you don't tell me. It's like a very big company CEO, you know, he does big, big, big things, but sometimes he forgets to tell his wife all the details at what he is doing. And the wife comes to know through somebody else what's happening under Brahma's leadership. And then she complains. Similarly, it is a description in the Puran that Brahma's wife was complaining, how is that every demigod is going in disguise in the form of a Brahman, in the form of Brahmani, in the form of selling bangles, in the form of selling flowers, in the form of selling so many things and appearing so insignificant. And they all are going to Gokul to celebrate Krishna's birth, Nandotsav, and you are not even telling me. And you are also going, but you are also not telling me. So she's arguing. And then she also becomes a Brahmani. And she goes down with gifts to give to the baby Sri Krishna. All the demigods also come. And then Brahma also comes as a simple Brahmin. But somehow he has four heads. So everybody is bewildered. Who is this four-headed Brahmana? And then they also bewildered to see who is this five-headed Brahmana? That is Lord Shiva. And who is this naked fellow who has come? That is Shukadev. Like that, you know. Another time when there was a beginning of Holi, it was supposed to be tomorrow, and then today the messenger goes to invite all the gopis, and next day is the Holi, and when Sri Krishna is decorated by Mother Yashoda in a very beautiful forest garlands and very beautiful decoration, simple but very attractive, and he is going like a prince, you know, from Nandagaon. It is explained that again all the great personalities, including Lord Brahma, accompanied Sri Krishna from Nandagaon to Barsana. And they were not acting as Brahma or Shiva or Indra. They were acting as jokers to please Krishna. They were dancing in a very weird way, doing all activities in a very weird way. Because they wanted to amuse Krishna, please Krishna, entertain him all the way to Nandagaon. Because something like 8 kilometers distance now. And the big procession was there. And even Shukadev was taken in lap by Purnamasi in that procession as a baby. And Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, everybody was like a coward boy making some funny activities to amuse and entertain Krishna. You can see these great personalities who are like CEOs of each departments. How much complicated situations are there? So many demons are coming and attacking. They have to also address the issues, address all the difficulties and run the show as per Krishna's plan and report to him regularly. They also take out time to serve Krishna in a very insignificant way. And that is actually the beauty of devotional service. That when one is a pure devotee or a very sincere devotee of Sri Krishna, he never hesitates to become insignificant when he is required to become. Never hesitates. He just wants to, whatever pleases Krishna, is ready to do. Whether to become a stone, or to become a tree, or to become a joker, or to become a disguised Brahmin, or to sell something, you know, all the Brahminis, great, great. Parvati is coming to sell flowers, to sell bangles. As is appearing to be a bangle seller, to have darshan of Krishna. Lord Shiva is coming as a sadhu, elderly sadhu, to have darshan of Sri Krishna. And he's being chased away. And he's being chastised by Mother Yashoda. If you would have told, I am Lord Shiva coming from Kailash, you know, there would be a great grand welcome for him. But he's not trying to show his position. He's not trying to create pomp and make it very official. He wants to take darshan of the Lord as an ordinary personality. So he's coming as sadhu and he's been chased away as a cheater, as a person who is disguised, a demon from Kamsa's side who is disguised. And who has come to take away my baby and to kill my and harm my baby. So please get lost from here. Take these diamonds and take these pearls and some grains if you don't want. Please go away from here. And then he has to cry for so many days there. And then he comes back again. He's called back again. He's ready to accept. If he suppose thinks, oh, I went in disguise in such a humble way and I am chased away. What is nonsense? I will not go again over there. Such an insult for me. I came such a long distance. I took such a humble position. This is too much. I will not ever come again in Nandagaon. That's what our egoistic mind will tell. Kabhi wapas nahi jaunga. But he's ready to wait and cry in humility. You know, shed tears of love. Crying for Sri Krishna's darshan. And Brahma is not less. He is in the same mood. Trying to please Krishna always. So we are very grateful to these personalities. And you know, whenever they are in a very awkward position in a pastime, appearing to be making faults, please do not misunderstand them. They are simply serving Krishna as per his desire. In the drama that Krishna has put up, they are simply serving Krishna and doing their roles. And they have no problem in doing such roles. Whenever we act in drama, we want a prominent role. Wherever my makeup should be the best makeup and I should have a prominent hero role and it's a major role I should want, and somebody is just standing as a chaprasi, looking down constantly at the feet of the king, fanning him, not even looking at the acting that is going on, Sansani Khez acting. It's a great humility that you want to become just two dasis or two guards next to the king. Somehow the mood is to assist in the great activity that is being performed in the most humble way. And that is the mood of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods. So thank you very much for patiently listening to Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Is there any question or comment or tippani? Anybody would like to ask? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Sri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Lal ki jai.